Welcome back to the State of Belief. I'm Interfaith Alliance President, Reverend Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch. My guest is Free DC Executive Director, Kaya Chatterjee. Can we turn a little bit to the role of religion in this moment? Because, you know, one of the things I'm talking about is just like, you know, religion can be the handmaiden of the worst of our angels. The religion can support dictators and does around the world and has in our country. The amount of religious groups that supported, were anti the civil rights movement, that supported slavery, the list goes on and on. Religion can be on either side. And the question is, where will we stand? Where will we show up? Where will we speak out right now? And that's the question, listeners, I'm asking each one of you. Think about that. Where will you show up? With whom will you show up? How will you show up? And I guess I would love to hear a little bit about your reflection about how religious communities have been a part of what is happening in D.C. and what you would like to see from faith leaders, as well as, you know, the broader religious, diverse religious communities that are in D.C.
Yeah, I mean, we have, I mean, from the first day of the occupation on August 11th, we stood with faith leaders, union leaders, people who work with the unhoused population, people who work with the immigrant population, Black DC Native. We stood together as a DC United. And I think that is really, really critical for our movement that we stand together in that way. We all live in places, right? And in a place, nobody wants their neighbor kidnapped. Nobody wants their community, attacked. Nobody wants to see civil liberties, gone. And so the more we can stand together in these places against this brutality, the more likely it is we will prevail. If you go back to the U.S. civil rights era where we brought down the authoritarianism of, it was a racial authoritarian regime, Jim Crow, and it was brought down by a coalition of grassroots activists, faith leaders, union leaders, and a broad swath of society, right? And that is what we need to do right now is to come together as in as broad of a swath of a society as we can, and to say not only yes what we do not want, which is this brutality, we do not want this brutality, but also say what we do want. We want a functioning democracy. We want liberation. We want equal representation under the law for everybody. And I think it's really important that we do both things, right? And we see a lot from the faith community, an incredible willingness to help people who are harmed. And then I think that the other thing we are seeing is that the second important piece of this, which is a willingness to not comply with harm, with harm, right? A willingness to not comply with a tyrant, a willingness to not comply with white supremacists who wish us harm. And I want to be really clear, like, that's who Stephen Miller is. Stephen Miller is the person in charge of the DC implementation. This is a white supremacist who has explicitly wished us harm. And so we have to stand together not only in reducing harm, but also in refusing to comply with any regimes that are enacting that harm.
Yeah. I mean, this is so important. Do you have a personal faith tradition that you were brought up in or any principles that informs your own work?
I would say that I was very nominally raised Hindu, for big holidays, we would go celebrate them. And very much, was told a lot of stories from that tradition, while I would say that, like, it's not a big part of my life or daily practice, it is a big part of my, my like grounding and centering to use things that come from that tradition, right? And so whether that's like pranayamic breathing or yoga or like these things that really emerge from Hinduism and are a core part of Hinduism are a part of my practice that allows me to find joy, even in a place that's really difficult, that allows me to find calm, even in times that are really turbulent, and are things that I tap into. And we know, you know, through the history of time that oppressed people have used, you know, song, and dance and prayer and all the things that like bring us together as a community. And like, those are things we lean into very much at Free DC, in addition to like my own personal practice.
Yeah. Can you say a little bit more about that? Because I do like I love that you bring up song and that you bring up these kind of like, that it's not just like, okay, you know, march, march, march. It's also like joy. And it's like, and it's in real time, like embodying what we hope for and embodying what we long for. And the role of music is so important there, as well as, you know, just showing joy in the face of like this other way. And you can offer this visual and embodied alternative that is so attractive, you know, and invites people in. Say a little bit more about the intentionality of incorporating that into Free DC.
Yeah, I mean, it is the number two thing we tell people. So our five like bits of ethos we ask people is, you know, do not obey in advance. Like if you give away your First Amendment rights without them being taken away, you might as well not have them. Do not obey in advance. The second thing we tell people is prioritize joy, which is related to the third, which is take up space and show solidarity, of course, with those, you know, recognizing that we are all under attack, and letting them divide us is not going to help. And then the fifth is organize, meet people where they are and bring them on a journey with you. And so the reason we put prioritize joy so early on is that it is very much what allows us to do the rest of the work. If we don't care for ourselves and recognize this is a long journey and we must care for each other and take care of each other, we won't be able to make this journey. And so all of our events have this nod to prioritizing joy, often through song. Because it also helps people realize, you know, if you're in a training or on the street or wherever you are, when even if you're a terrible singer, like I'm not a great singer, but that's not really the point. The point is that together we can create beauty. And together we can do amazing things. And it's amazing what it does to a room full of strangers when even you just do like a little bit of call and response song, people are suddenly like, oh, look at what we did, right? And it really changes, you know, your ability to do the work that we are called upon to do in this moment. You know, whether we like it or not, we are here in this moment. We are alive. We are presented with this situation of tyranny. We are presented with an amazing amount of harm around us. And we are called upon, I believe, therefore, to do something about it. And there's no way to do that if we aren't taking care of ourselves and if we aren't experiencing joy. It's just not possible, I don't believe. And so we think that it's one of the most important things that we can do is experience joy together. And, you know, to me, that's a little bit different from like from necessarily like self-care, which is important. But what it is it's community care.
Yeah, I love that. We need to take another break and then a few more minutes with Kea Chatterjee. You're listening to The State of Belief, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.